Good morning. Today's daf in Gittin Chaf Beis. We're starting with the Mishnah Chaf Av Amud Beis. Thank Phil Zimmerman for sponsorship of the daf this week. Daf we're learning this week is Zecher Nishmas. Phil, if you could just remind me the name.
Hinda Bracha Bas.
Yitzchak Asher. We're also learning the daf this morning. Zecher Nishmas Chaya Bas Yehoshua. Shamashav and Aliyah. We are starting with the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Kosovo Ben Mechubar. So we're in Chaf Av Amud Beis and... we open up today and close today with a sugya in of itself. We are here in the second parak of Gittin, learning the very basic halachas regarding ksivas aget and the prerequisites and the requirements of the writing of a get. So ein kosher memechubal karka. So the Mishnah tells us that you cannot write a get on something which is connected to the ground. So and Rashi reminds us we saw this yesterday already, but here is the Mishnah. And Rashi reminds us, what's the problem with mechubal karka? Meaning, we already learned yesterday, we're going back to the Mishnah, on your test that you can write your get on anything. Now, there is pushback, and there's a machlokas in terms of whether or not writing on Balei Chayim, writing on Ochlim, but outside of that, sure that you can write the get on anything. So once you can write the get on anything, so then what's wrong with writing something connected to the ground? So the problem is that we're going to now have an intermediary step. The Torah says v'kasav. The Torah says v'nasan. Those two action points have to be in succession one to the other. There cannot be an intermediary point between the two of them. If there is a ksiva, followed then by a talisha, followed then by a nesina, so that's no good. Ostensibly, the simple pshat is that that's a psulda, right? So either way, that's no good. And so therefore, when you are writing a mechubal karka, so now what's going to be required is that in order for you to give it to her, so it's going to be a ksiva and a talisha and a nesina, and that's no good. Now, what's going to confuse us is the next words of the Mishnah. Ein kosher b'mechubal lekarka, kasher b'mechubal lekarka, talsha v'chasma v'nasan l'kasher. And then the Mishnah, not looking to confuse us, but obviously confuses us, because it then says that if I write the get on something connected to the ground, detach it from the ground and give it to her, so the get's going to be a kasher get. And obviously that's confusing. The Gemara immediately will clean that up. Let's wait for just a moment. Rabbi Yehuda Posa, I should take... We're gonna clear it up. Right now, I'm gonna leave it in a point of confusion, and we're gonna clean it up in just a moment. Rabbi Yehuda Pasul Achi Ksivasa V'Chasimasa V'Talosh, and Rabbi Yehuda says no, that it will not be a good get until the ksiva is done after the talisha. And Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseir Omer and Kosher Lo Alani Armachiv Volala Diftera Mimneshu Yachuliz Dayev. Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseir says that one cannot write on paper which is forgeable, right? Niyar machuk is that the paper was already erased. And that means to say now that putting in another erasure on the paper is going to be unnoticeable. And so therefore, this kind of paper will be easily forgeable. Some clause is written into the get, some condition is written into the get, but it's on erased paper, so when you erase it again, no one's going to notice, so that's no good. The paper has to be something which is a little bit tamper-proof, where it will be noticed if somebody were to tamper with the get. And the same thing with diftera. Diftera also has the same problem. Later this morning, we're going to go and define exactly what diftera is, but basically it's untreated parchment. We'll come back to that. Because it is possible to forge into counterfeit, and you don't want to forge in counterfeit. The chachamim achshir, and the chachamim say that you write on paper which is counterfeitable. In other words, it's forgeable paper, so the chachamim say that's fine. Okay, and again, by the way, you have to wonder, the Gemara is going to ask this question, I'm just prompting, I'm foreshadowing, you have to wonder if it's counterfeitable paper, how in the world would the Chachamim say that that's an acceptable get? Stay tuned, we're going to discuss that. So, we went through the Mishnah, a number of basic open-ended questions that we asked in the Mishnah. Let's start right with the Gemara. So, immediately the Gemara jumps on the first two lines of the Mishnah, which are obviously not consistent. So I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Shmuel, Hu Shashari Makam HaTorah, V'chein Amar Rav Elazar, I'm Rav Oshia, V'hu Shashari Makam HaTorah, V'chein Amar Rav Bar Bachan, I'm Rav Yochanan, V'hu Shashari Makam HaTorah. V'Rebbe Eliezer Yidamar Eidim Mesire Karte. V'hachi Kamar, I'm still going to keep reading, and obviously I will come up for air, and I will explain. V'hachi Kamar, in Kosin Tofish, I'm Yichtov Torah, Kosul L'Tofish, V'tashu Kosul L'Torah, V'nasul Kosher. Okay. So the first approach of the Amoraim, and the Gemara gave us a slew of Amoraim who gave this approach, and that is the following. We're going to take the text of the get, and we're going to break it up into two different categories. It's going to be the Tofes and the Tarif. I think, I'm pretty sure, that this is the first time in the Masechta that we've done this. In other words, what is the text of the Get? It's really not long, it's short, it's 12 lines. And if we can summarize, the text of the Get is basically, this man is going to be divorcing this woman so that she can go ahead and marry whomever she wants. Okay. Now, that, even though I just summarized it, that's going to be put into a couple more words and a couple more lines. Day one, we learned in the Masechta that the Get is 12 lines in total. But if we were to reduce and distill the contents of the Get, it's basically the point that I just made. Now, there's also going to be personal information. There has to be personal information. The Get must be written Lishma, and so therefore the name of the husband is going to be identified, and the name of the wife is going to be identified, and the Makkum, and the place in which he's from, she's from, where the Get has been written. Okay, very basic information, but personal information as well. Okay, Tofes is basically your standard template of the Get. The Tofes is the generic information that she will be divorced and she will be mutaris to anybody, and that is what's called the Tofes. The Toreif is the personal information. Okay, so as far as breaking up the Get into two parts, so we have the Tofes and we have the Toreif. Okay, what is the Iker? The Toreif, obviously. The Toreif, by the way, just in terms of the word, right, it's an unusual word. It's used elsewhere in Shas to describe the private area of a woman. So in other words, it's like the really personal information. It's a little bit strange. I'm going to admit that we're taking a term that describes the private area of the woman and use it to describe the Get. I admit it's a little bit strange, but notwithstanding, regardless. The point is that the Tarif is that really personal information, and the Tarifes is just more of the standard template of the Get. And so here's what we're saying together. Now, in terms of understanding our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says don't write the Get on Mechuba LaKarka, because then what's going to be required is a detachment, and that's an intermediary step, and you can't have that. However, if let's say what you write while it's connected to the ground is just the Tofes, it's the standard template of the Get, but you didn't write any personal information. So the truth of the matter is that at this point in time, so have you written the Get? So not yet. In other words, because all you've done is written the generic standard, the generic template. Now, what you're going to then do is detach it, then fill in the personalized information, his name, her name, Makom, and then you give it to her. And we're going to add one other point as well. And the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer now. Rabbi Eliezer, which we've cited time and again, and in today's daf it's going to come up multiple times. What is the krisus? What is creating severance between husband and wife? What is fundamental to the Get? According to Rabbi Eliezer, Eidim Misiri Karte, it is the witnesses who see the transfer of the Get from him to her. Therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, when the Torah says vikasav, the Torah says, and you're going to be writing, what is that verb describing? It's talking about the writing, the text of the Get. But even with, because according to Rabbi Lazar, let's make this point really clear. What about the signatures of the Get? No. That's not what the Torah is describing, according to Rabbi Lazar. According to Rabbi Lazar, the only thing the Torah is describing, vikasav, is the actual text of the Get. But now what we get to do is we get to qualify. That's true. That according to Rabbi Lazar, the Torah's instruction, vikasav, is going on the text of the Get. But what text of the Get? Not the Tofes, but rather the Tarif. Tofes, that's generic template. That's not personalized information. That's not the ksiva that Rabbi Lazar is describing. The ksiva, according to Rabbi Lazar, is on the Tarif. So that means to say like this. If you could put all this information together, that's a lot of information. So put all this information together. That means that according to Rabbi Lazar, if you, while the branch, the leaf is connected to the ground, and you write the template on the branch, it's connected to the ground, but you didn't write the Toreif. So have you done now the Ksivas Haget? The answer right now is no. Then you detach it. Then you fill in the Toreif. Then you fill in the personalized information. Now you hand it to her. According to Rabbi Lazar, the Get's a good Get. Because the main Ksiva is going on the Toreif. The Iker Ksiva is on the Toreif. That was done post-detachment. And therefore, you have satisfied the requirement of Ksiva, followed immediately by Nesina. So far, so good. Now, obviously, then when you go back to the Mishnah, so why does the Mishnah open up with the words of Ein Kosvim b'mechuba l'karka, even though we just learned the manner in which it's okay? So the way that all these Amoraim explain the Mishnah is that, look, if you did exactly as I just instructed, write the tofes while connected, then detach it, then write the Torah, then give it to her, so then people are going to just simply slide over when we're going to detach. Meaning, as long as I'm writing the tofes while connected, I'll write the Torah as well. So as a simple gzeira de Rabbanan, the Chachamim said, we don't want you writing anything while it's attached to the ground, because even though writing the tofes is no big deal, people are going to end up writing the Torah. So what the Chachamim said is, detach it first, then write your tofes and Torah. Even though me'ikar hadin, if I wrote the tofes, then detach it, then fill in the Torah, and then give it to her, that would be okay. That is right now the first approach of understanding our Mishnah. That's a lot. Approach number two. We are towards the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, and now we're going to go over another way to understand the Mishnah. Reish Lakish Amar Chas Mushaninu. Reish Lakish says that, no, when the Mishnah is talking about writing, the Mishnah is not talking about text of the get. What the Mishnah is describing is signatures. And Rabbi Meir, Damrei Dechasim Akarti, V'achi Kamarin, Kosvin Toref, She'egzera Shemayachtam, Kasvel Toref, V'tashav V'chasmo, V'nasno La'kasher. Okay, now, we get to move over to Shitas Rabbi Meir, right? This section of Gemara is just such a perfect and beautiful description of Machlokas, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Meir. How does it manifest? What are going to be real differences between the two? Now what we're going to do is approach our Mishnah, everything we said, but not through the lens of Rabbi Elazar, but rather through the lens of Rabbi Meir. Let's do all that again with Rabbi Meir. Now, according to Rabbi Meir, there's instructions. What are the instructions of the Torah? That you're going to be writing a get for the woman. What is the ksiva going on? According to Rabbi Meir, it's going on the chasim, it's going on the signatures. Okay? And I know it's a little bit strange, by the way. In other words, if I were given a Torah and just simply said, read, translate, obviously, I would have, I don't want to say obviously, I'm telling you what I think, I'm not sure if that's so obvious, but I would have sided with Rabbi Elazar. I would say that the ksiv is going on, the text of the get. Rabbi Meir says, no, it's not. Rabbi Meir says that the ksiv is going on, the Eide Chasima. That is, as far as the Torah is concerned, the critical aspect of a get, which means now that all the ksiva that's done, that's all preparatory. That's Hechsher Mitzvah. That's the, obviously, the anticipatory, the preparatory stage is required in order for the get to be good. But it's not yet a get. When is it going to be a get? When the two witnesses sign on the bottom. So therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, when the get is written, and the entire get is written, Mechubal HaKarka, so Rabbi Meir would say, that's fine. You're going to have to detach it. Rabbi Meir will look at you and say, that's great. It's not yet a get. You've done the Hechsher Mitzvah. That's perfect. Now you could detach it, have the signature sign on it, and now we're going to be working with a good get, according to Rabbi Meir.
Why doesn't Rabbi Meir have the same question that Rabbi Nahat did realize, or that maybe the people will confuse
and
the sign while it's still attached?
Your question is not a question. Your question is the explanation of the Mishnah. And Rabbi Meir is now concerned that once people do that, people will then write and sign while it's connected. Which now, if you're learning our Mishnah like Rabbi Meir, when Rabbi Meir sees the opening line of the Mishnah, Ein Kosvin b'mechubel karka, exactly for that concern. For the concern that maybe we're going to end up writing and signing while it's attached, and then only afterwards detach it, and that is, according to Rabbi Meir, no good. Because now the detachment is done after the chasima. The chasima, according to Rabbi Meir, is the ksiva saget. Okay.
So he's not in favor of having it attached and signed, right?
Right. In other words, correct. In other words, with either explanation of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Meir, neither are in favor. It's just a question of what is the critical point of the ksivas haget. According to Rabbi Elazar, the text. And even within that, we sharpened our understanding this morning, not the text, but the text specifically, the Torah. According to Rabbi Meir, the chasima.
So what Rabbi Meir says that if it's still attached and you write it, and then you detach it and you sign it, then that's good.
That's good, but again, the concern is, yes. The answer is yes. But the concern is, once you do that, you're going to end up signing it while it's still attached.
So, okay.
As a rabbinic concern. Okay, good. Ad kan
the
Okay, Mitch is asking, just to be clear to everybody, Mitch is asking, so is the Mishnah to be understood in the context of Lichat Chila versus B'di-Evan? A little bit unclear. In other words, the words lechatchila and b'di'evan, when we're talking about a get, which is a matir. So it's not clear whether there are such concepts of lichatchila versus bidiyevid. Meaning the lichatchila bidiyevid by a mitzvah, certainly we understand, but by something which is a matir, either it is or it isn't a matir. And they're like, are there quote unquote hidurim, if you will, in the writing of a get? Right? That's, let's just leave it like this. It's, you know, it's questionable whether or not those terminologies would apply over here. Right? And Mitch, you're asking correctly. Okay. Kasvo. Okay, good. So we have our Mishnah. We have two ways of explaining the Mishnah. And basically it's either I'm going to take the Mishnah and look at it through the lens of Rebbe Lazar. Alternatively, I'll take the Mishnah and learn it through the lens of Rebbe Meir. And we opened up our daf today with just really yesodos. See, just basic machlokas tanaim in terms of what is creating the krisus and how to look at our Mishnah based on the two approaches. It's really fundamental. Okay. For a good part of today's daf, in fact, I would say the entirety of the Amud Aleph of today's daf, we're going to get a little bit distracted. The Gemara is going to get a little bit distracted, but for good reason. Meaning we talk now about attachment, detachment. So here, Kasvo, we're on Chaf Alpha Mid Base. We're towards the bottom of the Amud, three lines from the bottom. So Kasvo, Cheresh Shalatz, it's not Kuf. So let's say I write the get on the actual Kli Cheres, earthenware, Shalatz, not Kuf. Now it's got holes in it. It's got, okay, not to be too cute, but it's a holy pot on the land of Israel. Well, in a moment, right now, the land of Israel is not relevant to our discussion, but it will be for just a moment. Because once it's, I'll make the silly joke later. Once it's holy, it then becomes holy. But, okay, I'm going to just, right, take my joke, right, put it in the back burner. We'll bring it back in just a moment.
Is there something in the pot? Wait, hold it.
So I'm sorry. Kasva al cheres. The get in fact would be kasher. The point that we're making now is as follows: when the pots got holes in it, the earthenware pots got holes in it. So now, basically, in other areas of halacha, we view it as something which is connected to the ground. Okay. Vis-a-vis this requirement of a get, where I can't have an intermediary step of detachment, this does not qualify as detachment, vis-a-vis the get. Because over here, when we talk about detachment, we're talking about a physical act of clipping, cutting. Over here, what am I doing? I'm picking it up. So in other words, this is not considered a failure of some sort of intermediary step. Let's contrast immediately. But let's say it's on the leaf. So over here, if I'm now writing it on a leaf in a pot that is perforated, so now we have a machlokes between Abayi and Rava. Abayi and Makasha, we're on the very top of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, Dushakolevi Ayvlei Niala. According to Abaye, what's the problem? In other words, I wrote on the leaf, but it's in the pot. Now, I understand that the pot's got perforations in it. So what? You'll pick up the pot, you'll give it to her. Rava Amar Pasol Gzera Shem Yiktom. Now, Rava's concerned about the following. Yes, it's true. There's a possibility that you could just simply pick up the pot and give it to her. However, Rava says there's also a concern that you may clip the leaf. Clipping the leaf, that's ketzitza. That's an intermediary step. And therefore, since we have such a concern, so Rava says, therefore, the Chachamim made a gzera. Okay? Time and again, by the way, in other words, I've presented this question to myself numerous times, but at this point in time, it's no longer a question, it becomes really clear. Meaning, Tanaim, Amoraim, arguing about whether there is or there isn't a gzera. Meaning, a gzera de Rabbanan, right? In other words, based and convened, got together and said that under these circumstances, the Chachamim made a gzera. So are there debates whether there is or there isn't a gzera? At this point in my life, I'm absolutely convinced. They are, the Chachamim argue. Now it's I'm speaking right now on a larger scale, and I'll speak for just a moment. It's a little bit difficult to understand. Meaning, what is a gzera? Basin convened, got together and said that because of this concern, so therefore we're going to be gozer, right? Don't eat chicken and milk together, right? Because if you eat chicken milk together, so even though that itself, it's not an issur d'oraisa, but it'll lead to eating meat, meaning red meat, together with milk. Fine. So the chachamim made a gzera. So now, how can there be throughout Shas, and it's throughout Shas, that some say that there is a gzera and some say there isn't a gzera? That needs clarification. Meaning, the fact that there is such a precedent, I'm using right now today's daf as a simple example, right? In other words, you write a get on a pot, but on a leaf that's on a pot. The pot happens to be perforated, but that's not relevant to our discussion right now. And you can just simply pick up the pot and give it to her. But you also may clip the leaf and give it to her. And if you do that, that would be a psul. So therefore, the chachamim goes there all together. And writing on such an, on such a leaf. And now, according to Rav, the chachamim made a gzera. And according to Abaye, no, the chachamim did make a gzera. Meaning, what's happening over there? They're arguing about whether there is or there isn't a gzera. Okay. And I understand, by the way, it'd be better if I was able to explain. Okay. And meanwhile, all I did was just present to you, right, just a basic question.
In the Mishnah, it's not the same case that you would give, you know, when he watered on that patch, and he gave them...
Right.
No, he's on the ground. Would it be the same as
right.
The pot?
Would it be the same? Yeah. In other words, and
no, because the pot he can pick, the ground he can pick.
Okay. Right. Huh? You, right. And according, I don't know. Let's just leave it like that. Okay. Atzis shal achar v'zraim shal achar. And now we're going to really go off road. Meaning, once we opened up the discussion of perforated pots, so we're going to have one of those classic discussions in the Gemara regarding other halachic ramifications of having a perforated pot, a holy pot. Let's say that right now you have, I don't want to call it a partnership because it's not a partnership, but you have two owners. One person is owning the actual zirayim, the seeds, and one person owns the actual pot itself. And now we have a transaction. And so now the Baal Atzitz is selling to the Baal Zeraim. So the person now is selling, the person is selling his pot. He happens to be selling it to the person who owns the seeds, but that's not, the point is right now is that you're selling the pot. So Kevin Shemasha Chana. So now the pot. Pot is halachically metaltlin, it's movable items, how do I make a kinyan metaltlin through via Mashicha. So the Mashicha works regarding the pot. So Machos Baal Zeraim LeBaal HaTzitz Lo Kana Ashi Yachzik B'Zeraim. But now you want to sell the seeds. The seeds are karka.
Why are we here?
Again, because we talked about a perforated pot, so the Gemara Jesus is going to go off-road.
Okay.
Just a little bit off-road. So now if I sell the seeds, and when I say seeds, I mean really anything that's growing in the pot. When I sell the seeds now, the seeds, because it's in a perforated pot, so therefore the seeds have the halachic status of being karka. We know that karka is acquired, but we also know that karka is acquired via kesef, shtar, and chazaka. Chazaka is a proprietary act that I do to the land that shows evidence that belongs to me. Right? I dig it. I work the ground somehow. So over here, all we need to know to understand our Gemara is that Mashicha is not a method of kinyan when it comes to karka. Now, it happens to be that I can't do Mashicha. What am I going to do? Pull on the ground into my direction? Right. Okay. Correct. Correct. Now, but I say that over here, in theory, you could do Mashicha. Not in theory. In practice, you could do Mashicha. You could pick up the pot and bring it to you. But since the Zera inside, halachically, has the status of Karka, so therefore Mashicha does not work. That's the whole point over here. And it's and again, by the way, it's a little bit difficult to understand. It's not terribly difficult. The pot itself is not Karka. The pot itself is Metaltalin. Mashicha works regarding the pot. The growth inside the pot, that's karka. Therefore, Mashicha won't work by the growth.
But don't you go by what's the ikar and what's the...
I mean, over here, they're owned by two different people. So it's a regular kinyan. Now, here's where your point's going to come up. Well, not yet. Okay. So let's say the atzitz and the zera belong to one person, and he wants to sell to another person. So here we go. Again, just very basic kinyanim laws. So hichzik bezraim kana atzitz. Vizui shashanin nechasim shein lamachrayas. Niknemim nechasim sheish lamachrayas. Bekesef shtar vechazaka. Hichzik ba atzitz. Af atzitz lo kana. Ashi yachzik bezraim. Okay. So over here, kinyanagav. Kinyanagav means that we know that movables can be transacted together with property and via the property. Meaning that if I make a transaction where I'm going to be buying property and movables, and the movables is on the property, so and I make a kinyan on the property, I get the movables as well. This is what's called kinyanagav. Good. So over here, all you need to do is just simply know when I have the perforated pot with the growth inside the pot. The pot itself, metaltalin. The growth inside, karka. And now what do I want to do? I want to make a kinyan on both. Two of those things are owned by one person, and I want to purchase both. So now what I could do is I can make a kinyan on the karka, which is the growth inside. And again, by the way, I know it's a little bit tricky because you have to know how to define things. The growth inside is karka. The pot itself is metaltalin. So if I make a kinyan on the growth inside, so I get both. In other words, then I have to make the kinyan correctly, meaning it's a kinyan karka. So I have to use either shtar or kesef or chazaka. And once I make a kinyan on the growth, I also get the pot as well. Why kinyan agav? The opposite won't work. Meaning if I make a kinyan on the pot and I try to use a method of karka, I got nothing. I didn't get the pot. I didn't get the growth inside. Okay. I went through that.
Counterintuitive because
of course it's counterintuitive.
The,
but
the pot is a container.
Everything over here is a legal discussion. So yes, in other words, I'm with you. I hear your point. I like your point. But everything is just a question of category.
Kinyan agav is the seat that goes to the pot, not the other way around.
I know. I hear you.
But that's only because it's perforated. If it's not perforated, then it's one item.
Presumably, I think you're right.
Otherwise, why would
you say? I think you're right. Okay, we're almost done with this off-road discussion, but we're not yet because over here now we get to have more discussions now. Same point, but not same point. Right, we're going to move to a discussion of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, meaning up until now we were talking about transactions, kinyanim. But now we're talking about Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, Nikvu Baretz. So let's say, it's got a hole in the ground, V'nofo B'chutz Aretz, but the branches now are going outside of Eretz Yisrael. So if you will, just imagine right now that our perforated pot is right at the border of Eretz Yisrael. The hole sends a direct line down into Eretz Yisrael. So as far as the unique is concerned, it's getting its sustenance from Eretz Yisrael. However, the branch now is headed outside of Eretz Yisrael. And so therefore, just simple question of whether or not subject to Kedushas Eretz Yisrael with all the mitzvot atluyas ba'aretz, alternatively, the branch is being over Chutz Aretz, maybe the branches is what's going to give it its definition. Okay, so this question comes up many different permutations throughout Shas here in today's daf. We're going to discuss it, but we're going to do so really quickly. So nikvah baretz v'nofa b'chutz aretz. So Abaye Amar Basar Nikva Azlinan Rav Amar Basar Nofa Azlinan. So once again, machlokus Abaye and Rava, whether or not I follow the holes headed down into Eretz Yisrael, which is going to give it its definition of it will be a tree of Eretz Yisrael. It will be chayv and shumas amaisos. And according to Rava, Rava says we go after the branch. The branch is hovering over Chutz Aretz, therefore it's Chutz Aretz. So b'da'ash, but the Gemara immediately qualifies this debate. B'da'ashosh kolayam lo pligi, ki pligi b'dolo ashosh. If it has physical roots going down into Eretz Yisrael, there is nothing to talk about. That is a tree of Eretz Yisrael. The branches are headed outward over Chutz Aretz, don't matter. U'b'da'ashosh lo pligi, the Gemara says, are you sure about this? I'm not convinced. The Hatanan, the Gemara says, what about the Mishnah Bab Mitzvah Shtei Ganazu Agavzu Yerik Bein Time Rabbi Meir Omer Shalion Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shal Tachton. Okay, if you can picture, I got two properties that are next to one another. However, one is elevated, the other one is lower. So that means to say that I've got now a vertical wall between the two of them. Now let's imagine for a moment that vertical wall is not a wall, but it's just simply land, but it's vertical. Okay, so in other words, so I have an elevation between the two properties. And now I plant in that elevation. Now I'm planting it where now the growth is going out and heading out horizontally. Right. So let's say I live in the upper section and Phil lives in the lower one. And now we have this growth that's growing out of my land and into his airspace. So that growth belongs to whom? The Mishnah Bab Metzia. So I'm a Rebbe Meir. So, sorry. So shtei ganuzu al gavzu yerek beintime Rabbi Meir Omer Shalion. So let's say I'm living in the upper in the upper section. Rabbi Meir says it belongs to me, and Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shaltachtim. Rabbi Yehuda says it belongs to Phil. Now, where is its roots in my property? And meanwhile, we have a debate. And the Gemara says, you know, when it actually takes root, there's no debate. Over here, we have a debate. So the Gemara says, slow down. Hasam k'dik tani time amar Reb Meir ma'im yirtzal yonli tolas afro. Ein kan yerek amar Reb Yehuda ma'im yirtzal tachtol amalos es gina so afer. Ein kan yerek. So the Gemara says, over there, it is a debate, but not predicated on roots and what status it is following its roots. Over there, it is simply a question of ownership and who is rightfully the owner of it. Meaning, both of us have wonderful claims. That growth is coming out of my property. You know, when I own property, I own everything going up and everything going down. So, you know, without my property, there wouldn't be the growth over there. You, on the other hand, Phil, who own the lower section, yeah, that airspace, that's all mine. And do you know that I could bring in the dump trucks and I can add ground. So because I can go as high as I want. Right now I'm currently lower than you. My land is currently lower than you, but I can always raise my land and I can always go upwards. So my airspace is mine and I can even convert the airspace into real property. So in other words, it's just a question now of everyone's got claims to rights of ownership of that airspace. Okay. So the Gemara says it's not relevant nor germane to our discussion. Okay, so but we have a brice over here. This brice is describing a tree where half of it is, in other words, it's a thick trunk. Half of it's in Eretz Yisrael, half of it's outside of Eretz Yisrael. Any growth that grows on this tree. So what is it? It's chulin and tevel muravin zebezeh, right? Both consecrated, non-consecrated, mixed together. And in terms of how to be mafreshumas amaisos, so it's complicated, and I'm not going to go through how to do it. So right now, we can deal with it much more in the conceptual. And Divrei Rabbi Rishimon Gamliel Amar, Hagadol b'chiyuv chiyuv, Hagadol b'pater pater. And Rishimon Gamliel says, basically what you're going to do is you're going to strike a line right in the middle of that tree. Whatever is growing on the Eretz Yisrael side, that's Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Whatever is growing outside, not Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. So my love makes us nofel baretz, it makes us nofel b'chutz aretz. And the Gemara says, are we not describing where the branches, part of it is in and part of it is out? So the love, the Gemara says, no, that's not what we're describing. Mixa sharasha baretz, mixa sharasha b'chutz aretz. We're talking about where the roots, some of them are in and some of them are outside of Eretz Yisrael. My tamad derem shemim min gamliel, demafsik tsunama. So according to Shimon Gamliel, so where some of the roots are in and some of the roots are outside of Eretz Yisrael, how could he possibly argue that? Well, whatever grows on the one side is on the Eretz Yisrael side has kedusha. Whatever grows outside has no kedusha. The Gemara explains. According to Shimon Gamliel, we're describing where the roots are going into the ground, but the ground directly below the tree has actual rock. In other words, so there is rock now separating the Eretz Yisrael, non-Eretz Yisrael portions of the roots of the tree. And my time of the Rabbi, da Hadri Arve. And what Rabbi will tell you is, I know. I'm also looking at the same thing, but here's what I would argue. And that is that even though from the root standpoint, there's a physical separation between the roots. But as now, the nutrients are going through the trunk of the tree. So what Rabbi will tell you is that in the trunk, those nutrients now are going to get mixed together. And so therefore, the nutrients of Eretz Yisrael and the nutrients of Chutz Aretz through the trunk now get mixed together. All the fruit being produced now is going to be ta'arovis. It's going to be a mixture of Eretz Yisrael, non-Eretz Yisrael. So, b'may kamifligi, the Gemara says, okay, so, mar savar avir mevavel, umar savar hay l'chudekai v'halu'chudekai, and the Gemara says it's a question of whether or not the trunk actually mixes the nutrients or does not mix the nutrients. Now, the easiest way to say it, but probably incorrect, is that they're arguing over the mitzvahs, they're arguing over the facts of whether or not nutrients that the roots are drawing from the ground, whether or not they do, in fact, get mixed in the trunk, yes or no. That's the easiest way to explain it, but it's probably incorrect. In other words, to explain machloksim as a function of mitzvahs is probably not accurate. So then, in light of that, so is there another way to explain it? The answer is yes, but we're going to go on. Okay. We are Rabbi Yehuda ben Besera Omer. Okay. So Am Rabbi Chiya Bar Asi Mishmei De'ula Shlosha Oros Hein. Okay, we are going to go through the process of tanning. Okay, I admit all this would be a lot better if we get to do a little demonstration, right? And I'm really speaking for myself, right? I've not seen the tanning process, and I probably would benefit if I saw the tanning process. However, before the hides of the animal end up becoming cloth, there are multiple steps, processes in terms of the tanning. And we're going to do this really all too quickly. So shlosha hein, matzah, chefa, and diphtera. Now, matzah, we're going to go through each one of them. Matzah kamashmo delo melech, delo kemech, delo afitz. Matzah is where the hides are absolutely unprocessed. No processing was done. Not the salting, not the flouring. Okay. And again, by the way, if you and I were there, we would know this much better. And not the gallnut juice. Okay. So those are three steps. And when we're talking right now about matzah, not as in the food that we eat, matzah as in a descriptive term describing the totally unprocessed hide. So that means that no processing was done whatsoever. So lamai hilchasa, now the Gemara says, okay. Now, obviously, this is halachically significant. Why? Hotzah Shabbos v'kamashiro k'tiktani Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda k'dei latzud mishkal k'tana v'kama amar Abayi k'riva deriva b'pumbadisa. Enough to cover a small weight. Right? They had lead weights, and they used the hides for covering the fully unprocessed hide. Therefore, it becomes a significant amount. Therefore, if you carry it out on Shabbos from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, one would be chayiv. That's number one. Number two, chayfa. Demalich v'lo kamech v'lo afitz. Chayfa now is where you only had one step of processing. Salting. But that was it. Over here, they would use this to make their amulets. Right? And if you learn the Gemara Shabbos, so you're not going to wonder, they made amulets? The answer is yes, they did. Okay. And now, diphtera. Now we're up to the next, and that's diphtera, demalech v'kamech v'lo afitz, where it was salted, it was floured, but they didn't apply the gallnut juice. So lamai hilchasa, the Gemara now wants to know, why is that halachically significant? Lotzah Shabbos, once again, the threshold of when one violates hotzah on Shabbos. V'kamesh yiro k'dei lichtav alav as a get, that's the writing of the get was written on diphtera. Okay, so... So diphtera now is not fully processed hide, but it's mostly processed. Okay. One has to wonder, Tosus asked this question, you know, when it's fully processed, we call that cloth, right? How come that didn't make it into the list, right? We went over from totally unprocessed to where it's almost fully processed. So why don't we go all the way? Meaning there really is a fourth category. And in other words, the hide is separated and divided into two, right? The exterior of the cloth and the interior of the dachsusis. Hopefully I pronounced it correctly. But right now we're just talking about the processing of it. So over here, why didn't the Gemara describe cloth, which really is now where it's fully processed? Huh? Oh, so what? Tosus gives a couple of answers in terms of why we didn't discuss it. Anyway, the Chacham Emachshirin. Okay, so... We learned in our Mishnah, this is going to be our last point for today. So we learned in our Mishnah that writing on paper which is forgeable. So the Mishnah says, don't do it. Rav Yehuda ben Beseir Omer, Ein Kosvin Lo Ala Niyar Machuk Lo Ala Diphtera. So don't write on Niyar and on erased Niyar. Don't write on Diphtera, because Diphtera, we just learned what it is, right? And so in other words, we went through the processing stages. So don't write on diphtera. Why? Because it's forgeable. Because it's not fully processed. So therefore, when you write on diphtera, even though you can write on whatever, but once it becomes a forgeable document, so then obviously what the concern is that someone's going to tamper. Now by a get, what are you tampering with? The answer is very simple. Maybe conditions were written into the get. You're allowed to write conditions. It's not recommended, but you're allowed to. And so therefore, once it is tamperable paper, like diphtera, so then a condition was written. So then afterwards, the woman, after receiving the get, erases it. And because it is paper which is not fully treated, therefore it's forgeable. Therefore, you can't write on such paper. Good.
Does this apply to everyone's rules?
Hold. And the Chachamim Machshirin. And the Chachamim say, it's fine. And so in the Gemara now, and what we're going to do for the rest of today's daf is, simple question. What? meaning the Rav Yehuda ben Becerra point of the Mishnah seems to be the obvious point, seems to be the correct point, right? Don't write on forceable paper, right? Sounds right. And meanwhile, the Chachamim say, no, it's fine. What? So, man Chachamim, Amar Rebbe Lazar. Now, this part is a little bit confusing, I admit, but when the Gemara says, Amar Rebbe Elazar, we're talking about the Amora Rebbe Lazar. Now turn to the Amud Beis, Rebbe Elazar he. It's Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar tells us it's Rebbe Elazar. Okay? The correct way to understand this is Rebbe Elazar. The Amora is telling us that the author of the Chachamim in our Mishnah is Rebbe Elazar the Tana. Okay. That was a little bit clearer. That's correct. What we just said is correct. That's correct understanding. Dama Eidim Mesira Karta, that's of the position of Eidim Mesira. And now for the second time in today's daf, we get to go over the shitas of Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Meir. Okay, good. So this daf is a twofer. We get twice in today's daf, this machlokith and the ramifications. According to Rebbe Elazar, you can write on forgeable paper. Why? Rashi explains, I'm paraphrasing over here, I strongly recommend, read inside. Because according to Rebbe Elazar, so what's critical? Eide Mesira. Eide Mesira critical. Which means that according to Rebbe Elazar, there's no signatures on the get. Now, even according to Rebbe Elazar, there are signatures on the get, but we're going to come back to that later in the Masechta. According to Rebbe Elazar, I'm just saying for today, just to understand our Gemara today, there's no signatures on the get. That now means that according to Rebbe Elazar, with no signatures on the get, now what? Now, a get is written, handed over to her, must be done in front of Eidim Mesira, and now she wants to get remarried. What is she going to do? She's going to have to bring the Eidim Mesira over. Right? I know that's a lot, but that's what she's going to need to do. Now, the Eidim Mesira obviously read the get. Was there conditions in there? They'll know. So if the paper is forgeable, so what? According to Rebbe Elazar, for her to get remarried, she needs the Eidim Mesira. The Eidim Mesira are going to remember whether there was or there wasn't the condition. So therefore, if the paper is forgeable, it don't matter. That is Rebbe Elazar, the Amora's explanation of our Mishnah, vis-a-vis the sheet of the Chachamim, who say that writing a forgeable paper is fine, because it follows the sheet of Rebbe Elazar the Tana. Now, even as we just got done explaining it, but let's say now 10 days later. 10 days later, I really can't trust the memory of the Eidim Mesira. Okay. Sounds funny, but at the same time, however, we all do forget. So it's not. Right? And Rav Yochanan says, no, 10 days later, they're going to remember. Now, you have to wonder, according to Rav Yochanan, what does he mean by that? 10 days and even past 10 days? 10 days and only up to 10 days? Okay, unclear. And just to finish up today's daf, this idea of the Eidim Mesira providing the evidence, therefore you can write on forgeable paper, that's only when it comes to Gitei Nashim. But when it comes to other contracts, like any kind of transactional contract, so then no, even Rebbe Elazar, the Tana will tell you have to write on permanent paper, and on non-forgeable paper. And Rav Yochanan Amar Afilu B'Sharos V'Aksiv L'Man Yamdu Yamim Rabim Masa Meitza Tova Kamash Malan. What about the Navi that describes, I'm sorry, first Rav Yochanan says, no, this sheet of Rav Elazar is across the board. Because, again, we've said this before, let's say it again. It is fundamental. Rav Elazar and Rav Meir are not only arguing about Gittin, they're arguing about all Shtaros. And how does Shtaros operate in total? Meaning that this is not just a limited machlokas, this is a very broad general machlokas in terms of shtaros in total. And according to Rav Yochanan, this position of Rav Elazar that you can write on forgeable paper is not just limited to get isha. It's also true by other shtaros as well. What about the Navi, which I didn't go over that well. And I'm not going to do it today. But the Navi describes how they purchased the properties and took the contracts and put it in a safety deposit box. But the way I'm describing it is anachronistic. But they put it in a safety deposit box and keep it for a long time. Obviously, you're writing it on paper that's going to be permanent and non-forgeable. So the Navi is just giving Eitza Tova. It's not telling you a halachic requirement. It's just giving you good, sound advice. Okay, Adkan, we'll stop over here.